Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 278, the stanzas 2, 3, 4, and 5. The Lord remembers we are dust, and all our frailty knows. A man's days are like the tender grass, and as the flower he grows, and what follows. Psalter 278, the stanzas 2 through 5. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Numbers 25. And afterwards from the canons of Dort, the first head of doctrine, the articles 8 and 9. And Numbers 25. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal-peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people, and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one as men that were joined unto Baal-peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him a covenant of peace, and he shall have it and a seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. And now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Seli, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and of a chief house in Midian. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor, and in the matter of Cozbi, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake. Thus far. from the canons of Dort, the first head, which speaks of divine predestination, Articles 8 and 9. Article 8. There are not various degrees of election, but one and the same degree respecting all those who shall be saved, both under the Old and New Testament, since the Scripture declares the good pleasure, purpose, and counsel of the divine will to be one, according to which he hath chosen us from eternity, both to grace and glory, to salvation and the way of salvation, which he hath ordained that we should walk therein. Article 9. This election was not founded upon foreseen faith and the obedience of faith, holiness, or any other good quality or disposition in man, as the prerequisite cause or condition on which it depended. But men are chosen to faith and to the obedience of faith, holiness. Therefore, election is the fountain of every saving good, from which proceeds faith, holiness, and the other gifts of salvation, and finally, eternal life itself, as its fruits and effects, according to that of the apostle, he had chosen us, not because we were, but that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, we and our children may still have a place upon this earth. The sun may still shine upon us. The heaven covers us, and the earth carries us, and that in this afternoon hour thou was granted unto a portion of the congregation the opportunity to come up to thy house, and the greater part is still called upon to remain in their dwellings, Lord. May the time soon arrive that the whole congregation may come up to thy house, and then thou yet maketh a difference where there is no difference, where in the past week that thou wast sent an angel of death to Bethesda, the beginning of the week and toward the end, and then it has pleased thee to take two away by the cold hand of death and usher them into eternity. And thou wast left behind two mourning families. We have stood with the one family in the day of yesterday upon the cemetery, and we are called upon in this week to go to the cemetery by renewal. And then we commend both family circles unto thee. Wilt thou remember him who has now become a widower? And, ah, Lord, thou knowest the infirmities and the difficulties of the body, but also the weakness of the mind. Wilt thou remember him in his sorrow? Wilt thou remember him for body and soul? wilt thou remember all the children from both family circles, with the grandchildren, with the great-grandchildren, with the extended families. Then thou wert speaking unto them in a special way. And may it be that these callings of death, that they may be accompanied by the precious work of thy Holy Spirit, and that they may be used for the conversion of sinners, that it may please thee to work from generation to generation, as thou wast promised. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Wilt thou remember all the mourning ones amongst us? Wilt thou continue to uphold? Wilt thou strengthen and wilt thou comfort them? And wilt thou teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom's ways? Thou wast taken out of our midst, our oldest member and another old member, who has reached the age of the strong. Then in the past week, then thou wast spared the young. Thou wast spared the middle-aged, but there have been times when the young and the middle-aged have also been taken away. And now thou granteth this precious time of grace unto us and our children, that we may be prepared to meet our Maker in righteousness and in peace. But, Lord, thou knowest through our deep fall, we have become dead in sins and trespasses, and then we live upon this world as is this is our long home. But it is not to be, because we have eaten of that forbidden fruit. We are all lying under the sentence of death. Thou wast given unto us thy precious word. What a precious gift from heaven, where it declares who thou art in thy divine attributes. It tells us how deeply we have fallen, and that we are unable, impossible from our side, forever and ever. But how thou hast thought out a way, how thou hast given thy dear Son in the fullness of time, where he was the Savior for the church. Thou sendest forth thy Holy Spirit together to instruct, to comfort, and confirm thy church. Lord, we humbly ask thee, bless thy holy word, bless what was heard in this morning hour, and bless thy word in this afternoon hour. May it be for true conversions, but remember thy children. Thou knowest where they dwell. Thou knowest where they are encamped. Thou knowest their desires. Those are those desires which thou grant unto thy children by the work of thy Holy Spirit. And may there have come up in this afternoon, and those that may be in their dwellings, that may hunger and thirst after righteousness, with those living desires, after the living God, needing the pardoning of their sins and the confirmation of the same. Wilt thou remember consistory and congregation? Remember all those that labor in thy vineyard. Remember thy servants who are old, those that are weak. Remember them all, where they need thy help and strength from day to day. Then it has pleased thee that one of thy servants may accept the call to a sister congregation wilt thou go before him as the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, and that for the purpose of all purposes, for the coming of thy kingdom, and for the glory of thy name. O Lord, then we commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted, the old widow that was privileged to return to her home. Thus far thou hast made it wonderfully well. May it be profitable for her never dying soul. The little son in the hospital thou continues to give much encouragement. There are still concerns. There are still unknowns. Ah, Lord, continue to remember him. A grand healing, a grand strengthening. May he be spared for the purpose of all purposes, to at that time, at thy time, to show forth thy praise. Wilt thou remember and uphold the parents in these trying ways? Remember all our elderly ones. Remember our Bethesda, the family, a mourning family. Wilt thou continue to uphold, remember them when they may care for our residents. And now, Lord, in this afternoon hour, then we humbly ask of thee for thy help, a grand help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion. Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers. Remember the listeners, those that may come up to thy house, go from bench to bench, and go from heart to heart, but, Lord, wilt thou also visit the dwellings, be a surprising God, be not amongst us as a stranger in the land, as one who tarries for a night, as a man astonished that cannot save. But may it please thee to stretch out thy arm, that many sinners may be wrought upon. Wilt thou grant a little rest, put the devil to shame, forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 92, the stanzas 6 and 7. My foes with joy my woe survey, but thou, O Lord, hast seen it all. O be no longer far away, nor silent when I call on thee. And what follows? Psalter 92, the stanzas 6 and 7. in this afternoon hour with the help of the Lord. And then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Revelation 2, the verses 12 through 17. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he, which hath a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou wast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Thus far. Our text words speak of the letter to Pergamos, the tolerating church, with four thoughts in the first place: the steadfastness of Pergamos. In the second place, the immorality of Pergamos. In the third place, the exhortation to Pergamos. And in the fourth place, the encouragement for Pergamos. The letter to Pergamos, the tolerating church. The steadfastness of Pergamos, the immorality of Pergamos, the exhortation to Pergamos, and in the fourth place, the encouragement for Pergamos. Beloved congregation, the last times out of Revelation 2, then we have considered the letters to the church of Ephesus and to the church of Smyrna. And boys and girls, seven churches in Asia Minor, and if you look on a map, they are in a circle, and then the letters, they are addressed to Ephesus, and then as the clock goes, Smyrna, north of Ephesus, and now further north, then there is Pergamos, about 60 miles north of Smyrna. Then this city, the Roman Empire has made it the capital of Asia Minor. We find a Supreme Court in this city, thus it was a city of importance. But alas, it was also a seat of wickedness, because we have heard it It was the seat of Satan and the place where Satan dwelleth. And it is true, especially in cities, then much sin is committed, much immorality. And to that end, oftentimes, when the Lord sends His judgments, then the greatest judgments come upon the large cities. This city of Pergamos was a city of knowledge, because they tell us that in this city, the second largest library in the world, next to Alexandria, thus it was a city of knowledge. They tell us that parchment has been invented here. Those are animal skins that were treated, and where it was possible to write upon them. But alas, it was a city of idolatry. They tell us there were six temples, different cults. One of the gods was in the symbol of a serpent. They told the people that those gods, that they were the gods of vegetation and the god of healing. Thus then, congregation, then we can understand it was not a good place to live. And nevertheless, it has pleased the Lord, because in that city of Pergamos, there were lying under the seal of election that were written in the book of life. And therefore, the Lord has sent His ambassadors to preach law and gospel, that they may be wrought upon, uncovered to their sinnership, and come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And nevertheless, we can understand not an easy place for the church to live. Then what a blessing it is for us and our children that we are not in the midst of a city of millions of people, but that we may live in more a rural area. Oh, for that people in that city of Pergamos, how they must have thought many times, if my family could now live out in the country on a little farm with a few animals, how much easier it would be. And nevertheless, the Lord has blessed that church. And now we read in our text words that the exalted Christ, that He has also written a specific letter to a specific church. That is so necessary for us and our children, that we may receive a personal message, and that is in the beginning, in the way of conversion, that we may be pricked in our heart, but also in the further leadings. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room for a particular blessing and a particular message, and He grants His comfort in His time at His way. Are there also a few souls in this afternoon hour that stand in need of a particular blessing and a particular message, that in this past week that you have begged for the same? And now in this letter to the church of Pergamos, then by renewal, we find that expression in each of these letters. I know thy works, the omnipresence and the omniscience of the Lord. But then in this letter, then Christ has added, and where thou dwellest. And that is for the comfort of the church. Oh, then it was not outside of the providence of the Lord that church that was established in this wicked city with so much idolatry, and also where Satan had his seat, where Satan has exercised his power. Oh, then for the church of Pergamos, many a times, how distressed they must have been. Oh, with their children, with their youth, what a difficult place to live in. Also in our day, the thought many times, and that is a true thought, what a difficult time that we live in with us, with our children, where there are so many temptations. But now Christ, oh, what a comfort for the church. There can be those times under trials, under temptations, and under the persecution of the world, and when the prayers are sent up, and where it seems that the Lord does not deliver, and that the Lord does not answer. But then what a comfort for that church of Pergamos. I know where thou dwellest. Ah, then the Lord knows exactly the circumstances. Oh, we read of Zion in Isaiah 49, verse 14, that they have said, oh, it was not true. But in the way of experience, the Lord has forgotten and the Lord has forsaken me. Oh, in the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of all the temptations in that wicked city of Pergamos, then Christ, oh, what a message that was for the living church in that city, under their trials, under their cares. Oh, church, I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hand, and thy walls are continually before thee. O Zion, I knowest where thou dwellest. I knowest out thy trials, thy cares, thy tribulations, and thy persecutions. And so it is still in this our day. O the King, the exalted King, at the right hand of the Father, he reigns over his church, and he shall not suffer them. Oh, undoubtedly, in that church of Pergamos, how discouraged they must have been under all the idolatry and all the temptation, all the difficulties. But in that way, the church is given to shine as the light upon the world. Do we not read in Judges 3, the first four verses, when the children of Israel, when they have conquered the land, by those Canaanites with the chariots of iron, they were so strong that they could not be conquered. But then the Lord has instructed the children of Israel, now I have left them that I may prove you. And so it is in the midst of the church. Then the Lord has his church in a crooked and a perverse generation, that in that way he may glorify his name, that he may show forth his people, that it is a people that serves not for reward, but that serves him for himself. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast thy name. Oh, what precious things are written of this church, that in the midst of trials, in the midst of temptations, that people, that they have held fast the faith, oh, they were given to glory in free and sovereign grace, not by works, but the works of a triune God in the midst of that wicked city. Then they were given to hold fast thy, my name. And when we read that expression, my name, that name of the Lord, that includes everything that is reference to the Lord, his attributes, the way of salvation, his works, his day, his word, thou was held, thou was not denied my faith. Thou was holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. Oh, they tell us in the city of Pergamos, then there were those temples to the honor of Caesar, and then many times they were required to acknowledge that Caesar was Lord, even to offer incense. But oh, there were those in the church of Pergamos, ah, that was by grace alone, kept by the power of God, with a holy zeal for the honor of their Savior. Then they were given to stand fast. No, they were not like a Peter in the hall of Caiaphas, but they were given to confess, oh, their precious Savior, who has given himself, who has loved himself to death, who has paid that dowry, that the church may be saved. Thou wast not denied my faith. Even in those days, when Antipas was my faithful martyr, we do not read anything in secular history of this Antipas, undoubtedly a ruler in the church, a great hindrance for Satan. And then he was persecuted. It seems in this time that many times the persecution was also local, depending upon the authorities. And now this Antipas has been arrested, and he has not denied his faith, and he was martyred. What that must have been for the church of Pergamos, that it became reality, that when they stood fast, when they did not deny their faith, when they were a separate people, that he would be arrested and even put to death. And under that martyrdom in the church of Pergamos, then Christ was given to write that they have not denied their faith, this congregation, precious things for that church of Pergamos, that there was a people among them that were given to walk close with her Savior, zealous for his name, that they have not denied their faith. And then when we read these letters, then we do well that we examine each our hearts, how it is with us. As the Lord, we also live in times of great temptations, that Satan has but a short time, the enmity against the Word of God, against the living church, that is greatly on the increase. Do we now belong to that true church? That is now the most important question, but also as a congregation, these letters, they were written to the minister, they were written to the congregation to examine very closely. Our second thought, the immorality of Pergamos. But, thus then we read it, that Christ has first commended his church. Also instruction for us. And then he has continued, and then he has spoken of their errors, of their faults, oh, we must call them sins. must never minimize sin and only try to say it is a weakness and because of the times, but it is sin against the good doing and against the holy God. But I have a few things. The church of Ephesus, it is written, I have somewhat against thee. But I have a few things. Even when we read that expression, that implies, compared to those few things, that the Lord has still left many good things amongst them. Under the times, then it is so easy that we become overly discouraged. Nevertheless, those few things, they were very serious things, and they were brought to the attention of the Church of Pergamos. Then we can understand, boys and girls, when that letter was read in the church, that every boy and girl and older ones, that they have listened with great attention, and when they went home from church, that they have spoken to one another, because only the angel had that letter, and that husbands and wives and parents and children, they have spoken, that they have tried to remember exactly what was written in that letter, and also to examine themselves. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there those that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast the stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. We have heard out of Numbers 25 what Balaam has suggested. We know that Balak, he is called Balaam, that he may come to the children of Israel from a high mountain, from a high hill, and that he may curse that people. Then he would receive much money, and Balaam loved money. Do we not read in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, that the love to money, not money itself, we need money to provide, but the love to money is the root of all evil. But that the Lord did not allow Balaam to curse that blessed people. Oh, who the Lord is blessed, they shall be blessed. And then it is implied that Balaam has suggested to bring that people into sin. And then the Moabites, they have invited the children of Israel to their heathen feasts, and also the daughters of Moab, they have come to entice the people of Israel into great sin, usually those heathen feasts, and also with the sacrificing to their gods that was accompanied with many sins against the seventh commandment, also great immorality. And now Christ is writing to this church that there were in the midst of the church that were no longer a separate people. They have compromised to be like unto the world instead of being an example to the world. And now it was not so simple, not so easy for that people in Pergamos to always stand alone. Many times they were invited by their neighbors to attend their feasts, and always to say no. That is not always so easy. And even further, many times on those feasts, then there was also spoken about business, did not have the communication that we do today, of so many times also the different trades. They had their feasts, their organizations, and then the church was also invited, and then always to say no. But alas, it's written in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 16, be separate and come amongst them. And now there have been those that have went to the feasts, maybe with good intentions, maybe a neighbor, a co-worker, and that they thought, maybe the young people have asked their parents, that they said, Father and Mother, may we not do anything? We have a few friends that are going, and then we can still go to those feasts and associate with the people, but we shall still be separate. And then it is written in this letter that there were those that went. And then when we go to those feasts, then the temptations only become stronger, because to be alone is not so easy. And that we try to accommodate ourselves. And then we read in Numbers 25 that there was much sin, much immorality. And then in the city of Pergamos, that issue has been addressed at the Synod in Acts 15. When food was provided, then many times it was sacrificed to the idols before, and now to go to the feast, and then to say no, that only becomes more difficult. So the instruction is simple, congregation, that we must refrain and be a separate people. Let the world know, let the world see. They have a right to try us, especially if we come on a new workplace, a new school, then our fellow man, they have a right to ask questions and to try whether we are really sincere, what our religion really is, whether it's a religion with strong convictions, that we are a separate people. And now, among those of Pergamos, then we read that they have went, and then we read of, in the time of Balaam, to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. What is a stumbling block? When we put a stone or a branch on a pathway, and someone is not paying attention, then they shall stumble and fall and hurt themselves. And now there were those of Pergamos that have placed a stumbling block before their neighbors, people that were sitting in the same church, maybe even on the same bench. And then they were enticing also other church members to come along, and those that loved the walls of Zion well, that it gave them great grief to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Concerning that people, we read in the letter to Ephesus that they have hated that doctrine. And now what has the church done? They have not administered church discipline, but they have tolerated those sins. How far is not written, but it seems to be tolerated in the midst of the church of Pergamos. Our third thought, the exhortation to Pergamos, but we shall first sing, of Psalter 122, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Thou, Lord, hast forsaken to shame brought our boasts, and no more to the field dost thou go with our host. Thou turnest us back from the foe in dismay, and spoilers who hate us have made us their prey. And what follows, 122, 1, 3, and 4. The letter to Pergamos, the tolerating church. The steadfastness of Pergamos, the immorality of Pergamos, and now thirdly, the exhortation to Pergamos. Then we have heard, congregation, that there were still many good things in that congregation. They were zealous for the truth, the doctrines of free and sovereign grace. But alas, there was a compromising, and they have tolerated worldliness in the midst of the church. And Christian discipline was not administered. And I read that James has written in James 4, verse 4, "And know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity against God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." But now Christ, he has a message for that church. And then we read at the beginning of this message, "These things saith he, which hath a sharp sword with two edges." That sword that John has seen in the first chapter in the vision of the exalted Christ, and that it is a sword with two edges. Our Dutch marginal notes, when they speak of those two edges, then they speak of the one edge as the promise as consolation for us church, and the other edge, that is the edge of judgments. And now he who has that sword, then he is given to speak in verse 16. It is not such a long message, but it is a deep message, and it is an uncovering message. Oh, then the exalted Christ, then he has written to this church, although we have heard many good things, but there were still things amiss. Those few things, they have caused great distress and great turmoil in the midst of the church of Pergamos. And therefore Christ has exhorted, repent. What is it now to repent? That is a change of mind with corresponding actions. Oh, then this exhortation, then Christ in his love, then he has sent his letter to the church, because congregation, the greatest judgment for a church is when the Lord speaks no more. But then this congregation, then they have received a specific message, and that is to repent. And when must they now repent? Oh, then it is stressed, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly. Thus it is an urgent matter. Then Christ is declaring to the church, O church of Pergamos, that have received so many blessings, the gospel has been brought, many have been wrought upon, but alas, there is a tolerance in the church. The spirit is grieved, and therefore the necessity that you are given to turn away from your wicked ways, that you may turn unto my word and unto my institutions, that there may come a separation between the church and the world, be separate and come out from amongst them. Repent, O Pergamos, the matter is urgent, because if there is no repentance, oh, it is implied in our text words that the Lord is waiting to be gracious, and therefore repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly. And that word thee, that is not only those that have went to those feasts and committed the sins against the seventh commandment, but that word thee, that refers to the whole congregation of Pergamos. What a solemn matter may we be given to examine each our hearts, and also as a congregation, because surely these letters to the churches, they have also much to say unto us, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them. What a solemn word. War is a terrible thing. When there is war between nations, what a terrible thing. When there is division in family circles, when we have a husband, a wife against us, but here there is a more solemn matter spoken of, and will fight against them. What solemn words, what weighty words, what profound words. Then the exalted Christ is saying, and he is all power in heaven and upon earth. He is all things in his hand, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And when we read, by renewal with the sword of my mouth, then it refers to the chastisements which the Lord sends upon his church. And if there is no repentance, if there is no turning, that he will come with his great judgments. Our last thought, the encouragement for Pergamos. And then in the close of this letter, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Of course, it is a blessing when with our natural ears, when we may hear the message of God, and one may penetrate, and that we may take it to heart, and that there is a turning from our worldly ways, is a great blessing, even in a natural way. Think of the city of Nineveh upon the preaching of Jonah when they have repented. Then that city was yet spared for many years. But now we read, he that hath an ear, let him hear. What is now necessary, congregation, that we receive the work of the Spirit, that we may be given to hear not only with our ears, that is a blessing, but that we are given to hear and understand with our hearts, that it goes deeper. And the Spirit, when he worketh by love, because the Lord is not of slaves in his service, a willing people in the day of his power, as I read in Psalm 110, verse 3, he that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May we be given to consider our own hearts, but also as a people, as a congregation. The letter was written also to the minister, that we may be given to consider very carefully. And when we read that, hear that letter of Pergamos, that we say, Lord, is it I? And that we take it to heart, repent, for I will come quickly. But now Christ, he was given to encourage that church under all the difficulties, under the temptations, the persecutions. Undoubtedly they were mocked, has become difficult. Many have undoubtedly lost their jobs when they did not show up at the feasts of their employer or co-workers, it was seen. And then they were given to realize that there was a church that never came to the temple of their idols. Then undoubtedly many have lost their jobs. Many have suffered want. Maybe the cupboards were empty all for that people. What an encouragement that Christ has said, "But I know where thou dwellest." Undoubtedly, many that were in business, they have lost business because they did not attend those feasts. Maybe they had to lay off their employees. Many difficulties. And nevertheless, then Christ had an encouragement for that people, a special encouragement to him that overcometh. And the church shall learn that they shall only overcome through him who has overcome all things, who sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Oh, the perseverance of the saints. Has Christ not said, when he has spoken about himself as the good shepherd, "Oh, that he giveth his life for his sheep." Then in John 10, verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand." Oh, the salvation of the church that lieth sure in the work of a triune God. Nevertheless, what a warnings we have in the scripture. Hebrews 4, verse 1, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." And now to special promises. "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna." Then many times that church, they felt alone. Maybe they suffered want. Oh, alas, there was some of the church that went to those feasts and that maybe had plenty to eat, maybe drunkenness, many more sins. And then there can come a voice. Look at the prosperity of the world. Think of Asaph in Psalm 73. When he was given to see the prosperity of the wicked, no trouble. And it seemed in the life of Asaph that there was trouble every morning by renewal. Maybe there were those that even suffered want, had difficulties providing for their families because they did not go along with the world. But now Christ has said, "O church, I shall give you something else to eat." And that is called the hidden manna. Boys and girls, you know where the manna has fallen. In the wilderness. 6 days a week, on the sixth day, there was double. The Lord has fed that people in the thirsty wilderness. Hidden manna, we read it was in that pot that was kept by the ark. But now Christ says unto his church, "O child of God, I will give you that hidden manna." And that manna is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his meritorial work. Oh, when the church may taste of that hidden manna, when that manna may be revealed, oh, for many a souls, that hidden manna can be so hidden. But now Christ has said to the church, to the child of God, "I will feed you with that hidden manna." In John 6, it is called the bread of life. That is Jesus Christ and him crucified with all his benefits. Oh, then Christ is given to say to that church that may overcome, to that church that may have a close, a tender, a dependent life. Oh, to that church that may shun the world. The church learns that they must be kept. The church learns the necessity and the preciousness of Christ in his threefold office, that he may be instructed as prophet, the atoning work in his high priestly office, but also as king. Oh, do we not read of the blessings for a hungering and a thirsting people in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 verse 6. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Ah, they shall be filled. Are there yet hungering and thirsty ones in my midst? Oh, that know what it is to be in a thirsty land, to be in that wilderness with a scorching sun, with many a trial. But oh, Christ is promising in our text that he shall never forget, that he shall never forsake his people. I will give them the hidden manna, and when they may taste thereof, when they may eat thereof. Do we not read in Psalm 36, the verses 7 and 8, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men shall put their trust under thy wings. They shall be satisfied with the fatness of thy house and drink of thy pleasures forevermore. But now even a further blessing. Maybe some souls that say, if I deceive not myself, oh, when the Lord works, then we become a thirsty and a hungry people. And then it is not a good sign if we can live off of our thirst and off of our hunger, because in natural life, then we are not satisfied till we shall receive food and drink. But now a further blessing is promised to the church of Pergamos, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. What are we now to understand by that white stone? They tell us in the time of the seven churches of Asia Minor, then when you had a courthouse and there was a judge, that the judge, that he had a white stone and he had a black stone. And then when someone that was accused, he came into the courtroom with the witnesses, and then the judges listened, maybe advocates and lawyers, secretary. And then after the case has been examined, then the judge, he was called upon to pronounce judgment. And then they tell us that that judge did not speak, but then he either picked up the black stone or the white stone. When such a one was guilty, then the judge would pick up the black stone. But when such a one was innocent, proven innocent, then the judges picked up the white stone. Then the meaning is clear. Then here to Pergamos, then Christ promises to that people that white stone with a new name that speaks of the justification of the sinner and the sealing work, the testimony of the Holy Spirit, that their sins are forgiven and a new name, all by nature. Then our name is a child of wrath. But now Christ promises here to the child of God that may overcome, that he may receive that white stone with a new name written. Oh, let us think of Jacob. It is true in Bethel. There he has seen a revelation of that ladder. It points to the mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ, a way that may be made that a guilty sinner and a holy and a righteous God may be reconciled, but now at Peniel, there he has received that white stone. Do we not read there that all formerly his name was Jacob, supplanter, deceiver, but then he has received that name of Israel. What precious promises for the church of God. And how was it now possible that in that church of Pergamos, that promise, that they may receive that white stone and a new name? Has that people in Pergamos not learned by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit that they were guilty, very guilty, original and actual sin? How is it now possible that they may receive that white stone, the forgiveness of sins and the right to eternal life? Does the Lord then step as judge? Does he then step off the throne of his justice and climb on the throne of mercy? No. The Lord is of pure eyes to behold evil, and he canst not look on iniquity. He must punish each of our sins. Satisfaction must be made, as we read in our Heidelberg Catechism, in Lord's Day number 5, by us or by another. That is now the wonder of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ, who had no original sin, no actual sin, he was the perfect Lamb of God, the Lamb without blemish. And then at the end of his life, he was arrested. He was tried. Each time by renewal, many confessions, he was innocent. I find no fault in this man. And then what has taken place, boys and girls? Pontius Pilate, even though he has washed his hands, said, I find no innocent in this man. Then which stone has he given to the Lord Jesus Christ? Then he has not given a white stone, but he has given a black stone that he was given over to be crucified. How can that be? Because Christ, he has taken the sins of his church upon him, and to that end it is true. With all the sins of his church, no longer a white lamb, but judicially before his Father, laden with the sins of his church, to say it reverently through Pontius Pilate, the Father has given his Son the black stone, condemned to death, condemned to the cursed cross. He must die. He has satisfied justice. There in congregation, therein lies the possibility to be saved. Oh, are there sinners that are walking over the earth with a burden of sin? Oh, hungry and thirsty souls, what a precious promise. It is spoken by him who cannot lie, who is the faithful witness. Shall I say it, and shall I not do it? Oh, what precious things, the further leadings in the life of the children of God, young and old. We need that white stone. We need to receive the pardoning of our sins, because at the end of the world, then the judge shall come upon the clouds of heaven with two verdicts, with two stones. May we be given to beg the Lord fervently, that the Lord may remember us. What an instruction. Oh, good things in Pergamos. the old truth, free in sovereign grace, and yet compromising, tolerating the church, discipline not administered, the calling to repent, but also the encouragement, the Lord knoweth those who are his. Then we read, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard in this afternoon of the message to the church of Pergamos. May we be given to turning unto ourselves. Wilt thou remember us and our children, pour out thy Spirit. And then we have also heard of the further leadings. Lord, watch over us in the furtherance of this Lord's Day. Grant traveling mercies and gather us together by renewal around thy word. In this evening hour, wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 83, the stanzas 1 and 3. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. And what follows, 83, 1 and 3. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.